Thank you, guys. That was a sweet time of worship, wasn't it? Well, as we've already mentioned this morning, we certainly want to celebrate and honor all of our moms today. We're grateful for all that you do for your family, grateful for what you do for our church family. In fact, we have a little gift for you out in the lobby. If you didn't pick one up on your way in, be sure to pick one of those up as you leave today. At the same time, we know that Mother's Day can be a difficult time for some who want to be a mom, and that hasn't happened yet. For some who didn't have a great relationship or doesn't have a great relationship with their mom. For some moms who have strained relationships with their children. For some moms whose children are no longer with us. For many different reasons, it can be a difficult day. But regardless of where you are, I pray that through God's Word, you'll find hope and encouragement this morning. Today we're going to look at the determined faith of a mom. And I believe all of us, not just the moms, not just the ladies, but all of us can learn from the faith of this mother. I believe there's instruction and encouragement and challenge for each of us in this message. Let's turn to Matthew 15. We'll meet in verse 21. And while you're finding your place, let's get some background on what happened leading up to today's passage. The Pharisees have been complaining that Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, we know that Jewish tradition held that if you didn't wash your hands before you ate, something could enter your body and defile you, causing you to be unclean, not just physically, but spiritually. And Jesus reminds them that no, it's not what enters the body that causes you to be defiled, it's what comes out of the mouth, because what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And he warns them, these religious leaders, that they are so focused on keeping their Jewish traditions, they're ignoring God's command to minister to and to serve the people around them. So just imagine, Jesus is concerned for the souls of the people. He sees how they are hurting, how they are in need of mercy. He and the disciples are busy doing ministry. They're burdened for the people, probably physically exhausted. And one of the religious leaders says, "Hey, I noticed that Peter and Andrew didn't wash their hands before they ate." Now, this is when I believe the God in Jesus took over, because I think the man in Jesus wanted to punch the guy. And really and truly, this hand-washing complaint was kind of the last straw for Jesus. What he does next was a clear demonstration of his frustration with the religious leaders in Israel. He leaves Jewish territory and enters Gentile territory. In fact, he headed toward Tyre and Sidon, which were the epitome of uncleanness regarding the Gentiles, showing just how far into non-Jewish territory he was willing to go. He was such a visual teacher, wasn't he? Well, as he travels through this area, he encounters a woman, a determined mom who, out of desperation, cries out to him on behalf of her child. Let's read our text beginning with verse 21. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. We're going to see that some pretty amazing things happened during this brief encounter between Jesus and this woman. First of all, we're going to notice that this woman faced some obstacles. Look at verses 21 and 22 again. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Well, we see right away that this mother had some pretty big obstacles to overcome in order to get to Jesus. First of all, she was a woman. Now, we need to keep in mind that although Jesus and Paul and others encouraged the value of women, the culture in general did not. In most situations, they weren't considered man's equal. They did not enjoy the freedoms that men enjoyed. At times, they weren't even considered reliable witnesses. In addition to all of that, where was the father? If he was in the picture, where was he? If he isn't in the picture, is she widowed? Is she divorced? Has she ever been married? Possibly more obstacles. Well, the next thing she had to overcome, she was a Gentile. You see, the Jews had a very low opinion of the Gentiles. She would be very aware of that. It's possible, it's likely that she had experienced ridicule and discrimination because she was a Gentile. The third thing she had to overcome was she was a Canaanite. So she was a woman, she was a Gentile, she was a Canaanite Gentile. Of all the Gentile nationalities, the Canaanites were the most despised by the Jews. So here is this mother who in her need faced and overcame all of those obstacles just to get to Jesus. There's a great classic Christian book, The Pilgrim's Progress. Many of you have probably read it. If you have, you know the main character in the book, Christian, is on a journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And along the way, he and all the other pilgrims come across various obstacles that can't be avoided. And one such place is called the Slough of Despond. It's a place where travelers find themselves miring up. And depending on the amount of burden they carry, it can be very difficult to get through the mire. Christian had this problem. Until another character named Help, the Holy Spirit, came along and helped him. And Christian asked Help, why has this place not been fixed so that this journey might be easier and more secure for the travelers? Help responds, this place cannot be mended, only travel through. The point is, in life, there are going to be obstacles. Meaning that we can't control. But with the Helper, with the Holy Spirit, we can overcome them. You see, faith requires that we make the effort to cross whatever obstacles may stand between us and Jesus. When we consider the obstacles that this woman faced, none of them were of her choosing. She was born a Gentile woman from Canaan. She had no control over that. And like this woman, there can be obstacles between us and Jesus. But many of the obstacles that we face today are different. And oftentimes we do have control over them. So what are some obstacles that we face? What is it that keeps us from coming to Jesus, from crying out to Him, from having a growing and intimate relationship with Him? Well, there are a lot of obstacles, right? But I want to talk about three that I think are prevalent in today's society. First, there are the demands on our time. Time can be an obstacle, can it? There's only so much of it, only so many hours in a day. We can't change that. We can, however, determine how we use it. The fact is, the normal demands of life are just about enough to fill up a day, right? And when we throw in the things that we choose to do and what little spare time we have, we often become too busy to do the things we ought to do. Because worldly things tend to take our attention from the spiritual things. You see, there's some things that most of us have to do. We have to work. We have to take care of our family. But sometimes what we lose sight of is the fact that taking care of our family is not just feeding them and clothing them and sheltering them. It includes praying for them, teaching them God's word, teaching them God's way, which takes time, but all too often we allow that time to slip away from us. Here's the thing. If we are too busy to come to Jesus for our own spiritual nourishment and to pray with and over our family, keeping their name before the throne of God, something is wrong. But that obstacle can be fixed. We can control the demands of our time. Secondly, they're the directives of our culture. Now, if you think about it, our culture is sort of the reason our time gets away from us. Because our culture dictates that we should do all of the things that our family enjoys. And if we can't do all those things, then we're bad parents. It's so funny to me how, as young people, we long to become adults. So we can make our own decisions, not have to answer to anybody, and then we allow the culture to dictate our schedule for us. You see, in our culture, it's normal to be so busy that by the end of the day, we're emotionally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's an evidence of a well-lived life. But we need to be mindful that the directives of our culture can be an obstacle that keeps us from coming to Jesus, but we can overcome that obstacle as well. A third obstacle might be the deceit of our pride. Maybe the biggest obstacle of all. Because there's nothing worse than a person who's struggling but refuses help, even fights against the helper. So often we're so proud that we won't admit that we can't do it all. Again, this is driven, I believe, by the culture that we live in. We think we must juggle all the responsibilities, all of the demands that everyone places on us, and if we can't do that, we're a failure. But we can overcome the deceit of our pride as well. In fact, we can overcome all of these obstacles with determined faith. You see, nothing that the world throws at us, no distraction, no discouragement, no disappointment is any match for our faith. We just have to exercise our faith, lean on our faith, trust in our faith, and live by it. So let's talk about what it was that moved this mother to face and overcome her obstacles. One thing I believe was desperation. She realized that whatever she was doing to help her daughter wasn't working. Most likely she tried other methods to bring healing to her daughter. They had all failed. It's likely that she invested much time and money trying to find a solution, anything she could do to avoid this Jewish teacher that went around healing people. But she'd spent all. She was desperate. Now she would turn to Jesus for help. Another motivation was love. Love for her child. I love what Washington Irving once said. He said, "The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all." A mother's love for her children will cause her to overcome any obstacle, right? In fact, she loved her daughter so much that she was willing to put her dignity on the line to help her child. So what can we learn from this mom regarding the obstacles that we face in coming to Jesus? I believe one thing is this. If this mom could overcome things that she had no control over, surely we can overcome the things that we can control. Secondly, I think we learned that we don't need to wait until we're desperate to come to Jesus. In fact, we can save our family and ourselves a lot of heartache if we come to Him early and often. And here's the beautiful thing. We can be assured that when we overcome these obstacles, Jesus is on the other side waiting for us. Well, once this mom overcame these obstacles, we see that she cried out for help. Looking at verses 22 through 24 again, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" This mother was very persistent, wasn't she? We love that about you ladies. Now, her persistence was driven by the greatness of her need. Her child was critically ill. She was severely demon-possessed. The language around that phrase tells us that this possession was evident spiritually, physically, emotionally. Every part of this little girl's being was affected. And this mom had heard that Jesus could heal people, so she's determined to find help for her daughter. She finds the courage to cry out to Jesus for help. Well, as the story unfolds, we see some things that could have discouraged her from going any further. First of all, there was the silence of Jesus. Verse 23, "But he answered her not a word." Now, that's not normal for Jesus. Typically, when he has a request for healing, he immediately answers that request. So the hesitation seems to be intentional. But why would he do that? Well, a couple of reasons. One, to test her faith, to see if she really believed in him, believed that he could make a difference. And also to draw her into a deeper relationship, opening her eyes and heart to her personal need, not just the need of her child. Well, although Jesus was silent, she persisted. The second thing that could have discouraged her was the impatience of the disciples. Verse 23 says, "And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" Sounds like the disciples need a lesson in compassion, doesn't it? And we'll see that that is exactly what they're going to get, because as Jesus ministers to this woman, he's also teaching his disciples. So it's clear she won't be ignored. Now she's following them down the street, still pleading for help. Apparently her persistence was getting louder and louder, to the point that the disciples are asking Jesus, "Please just do what she wants and send her away." She would not be discouraged by the silence of Jesus, the impatience of the disciples. And finally, there was the response of Jesus. When he finally acknowledges her in verse 24, he says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, as I said, I think this conversation was as much for the disciples as it was for this woman. I think Jesus drew this conversation out to show the disciples the contrast between the faith of this Gentile woman and the lack of faith from the Jews. Nevertheless, I don't think this was the answer she was hoping for. Sounds pretty harsh, actually, doesn't it? "I'm not here to help the Gentiles. I'm here for the Jews." This would have been enough to send most people packing, but she would not be discouraged. I think we can learn a lot from this encounter with Jesus. There may be times when we call on him and he is silent, but that doesn't mean he's not listening, does it? Could mean that he desires to draw us into a deeper relationship with him. He may be testing the depth of our faith. And when others are impatient with us, when they try to discourage us or even silence us, as the disciples did, we need to be persistent and not give up. Because as you look at this situation with this lady and with the disciples, he could be using our circumstance to teach someone else something, to bring glory to himself. Well, this mom's determination continues. And we see that she overcame obstacles. She cried out to Jesus. Next, we see that she worshiped the Lord. Look at verses 25 through 27. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Jesus, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." So, after being told by Jesus that he was sent for the lost sheep of Israel, instead of becoming prideful and jealous or angry, verse 25 says, "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" One of the most powerful prayers that we can pray is expressed in those three words. When she said, "Lord," she acknowledged his lordship. When she said, "Help," she admitted her dependence on him. When she said, "Me," she confessed that she needed God personally. She came to the realization that this was no longer just about her child. It was about her. She finally realized that if she was going to help her daughter, she had to help herself. You see, I think she had good intentions. She really desired help for her child. In fact, she was putting her child's needs before hers, which is what moms do, right? But I believe she thought she could just come and get her blessing and leave. I don't think she anticipated being drawn into a conversation with the healer. But the more she cried out, the more she came to realize that it was time to lay aside all of her fear and pride and doubt and baggage and truly worship Jesus. Well, after she humbles herself and says, "Lord, help me," Jesus responded with this: "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, to really understand this verse, we need to realize that Jesus is using a powerful illustration here. Children refers to Israel, the bread to the blessings of God on the Jews, and little dogs to the Gentiles. And she immediately got his illustration, which is what he intended, of course. But notice she didn't dispute what Jesus said, but pleaded that the Gentiles should receive at least the leftover blessings from God's favor on the Jews. We could paraphrase her reply as, "It's true that we Gentiles do not sit at the table as children and eat the bread, but even the little pet dogs under the table can eat some of the crumbs." What a tremendous testimony of faith. I believe this woman knew that a little bit of blessing from Jesus went a long way. And she understood that she wasn't deserving of the blessing, but she was asking for grace and mercy and compassion. So why did Jesus put her through all of this? Testing her faith. He desired something more meaningful. Because when you think about it, Jesus could have completely ignored her, never breaking his silence, right? He could have healed her daughter instantly and sent her away instantly. But he kept talking to her for a reason. He desired more out of this encounter. When you think about this woman and how she kind of came, probably expecting to get her blessing to go, I think it can be the same with us. In this fast-paced world we live in, it's easy to get caught up in the disengaged culture. You think about it, many of us work online. We shop online. We communicate online, where we send a text or an email or a photo. But how often do we truly engage others? We live in a to-go society, don't we? And if we're not careful, we can take that attitude with God. And like this mother, we can expect our blessing to go. I'm sure that all of us, dads and moms, grandparents, pray for our children and our grandchildren. But how often do we just come and ask for His blessing, for His protection, for His provision, for His healing without truly worshiping Him? How often do we expect to get our blessing to go without addressing our own issues and struggles? Psalm 46:10 puts it beautifully, "Be still and know that I'm God." That's all that He desires from us. He just wants us to slow down, spend a little time at His feet worshiping Him. Those three little words, "Lord, help me." Acknowledge His Lordship. Admit our dependence on Him. Confess our need for Him. Well, this woman has overcome obstacles. She has cried out for help. She's worshiped Jesus. And as a result, we see that she received her blessing. Verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Finally, having seen ample proof of her faith, her determined faith, Jesus answered her request. Her humility, her persistence, her worship had proven her faith in Jesus. The Scripture tells us her daughter was healed from that very hour. Her determined faith had paid off. For me, determined faith is sort of like splitting firewood. You see, for me, it's rare that I split a log with one swing of the axe. Some of you might can do that, not me. I could do that at one time, many years ago. But now, depending on the type of wood and how long I've been swinging, it can take several licks to complete the job. And there's some relief when that final swing breaks all the way through that log. But you know what? It isn't that final blow that does the job. Usually it's the persistence of many swings hitting that log in the same spot, swing after swing, that allows us to break through. You know, I wonder sometimes just how many blessings we miss out on because we're not persistent, we're not consistent. I wonder how often we've given up too quickly. Just one or two more swings and we could break through, but we tire out and give up. Well, I believe this passage should encourage us in that when we face and overcome the obstacles that stand between us and Jesus, when we cry for help in the right way through humble worship with persistence, we'll receive a great blessing. You know, the moms, the ladies in our church are a great example of this mom. I want to thank you for your example of determined faith, for the way we've seen you overcome obstacles, cry out to the Lord, worship Him. You're a great blessing to our church. As for the rest of us, let's follow the example of this faithful mother. I pray that we'll have the courage and the conviction to face and overcome any hindrance, any obstacle that's keeping us from having a growing, intimate relationship with Christ. So as we close, let's consider these questions. Is there something standing between you and Jesus? Is there something in your life that keeps Jesus at arm's length? You're not quite fully embracing Him. It could be guilt, unforgiveness, fear, anger, confusion, discouragement, disappointment. It could be many things. But I can promise you, this Jesus that I know is waiting for you to cry out to Him in faith, to worship Him truly, that He might bring whatever forgiveness you need, whatever courage you need, whatever peace you need, whatever understanding or encouragement or hope you need. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for this story, Lord, for this encounter that this brave, courageous woman of faith had with you. And we're grateful that you have taught us so much through the faith of this mother. And God, I know just from preparing for this message that there are many things in our lives that can come between us and you regarding having a great relationship with you. We've talked about many of those obstacles today, but we're encouraged by this story that we can overcome those things. But you know, first of all, we have to desire to have a closer, more intimate relationship with you. And it's that desire that will give us the strength and the courage that will equip us to overcome whatever obstacles are in our way. I pray that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to see what those obstacles may be. Lord, they're different for all of us. But I know that by the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can overcome whatever they are. And I pray, God, that we realize that, you know, as we come into this place today, as we've sat here and we've worshiped and we've sung together and we've looked at your word together, that perhaps you have shown us some things in our life that we need to overcome. And I'm encouraged that we don't have to overcome those on our own. I'm encouraged that there's no obstacle, no distraction, no disappointment, no discouragement that is bigger than you are. And that you can defeat whatever needs to be defeated. You can help us to overcome whatever needs to be overcome. God, again, I thank you for the women in our church today, for them being here this morning, for those who are traveling, who aren't here. God, that you would bless them this day. Just shower them with your love and with your favor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.